don't try to be someone else. Find the thing that you like doing that can make you money and just go all in. Go all in every respect and build an audience around it and build products around it and keep doing that over and over and over, and you'll be successful, I think. And if you start floundering, it's because you've lost focus, probably.
Here we are again, podcast listeners. We're Craig Hewitt and Ken Wallace. We created the Nights and Weekends podcast just for you. Yeah, you, because you're not content where you are, and you're ready to make a change. Yeah, right now you're working for someone else, building their dream. You may be frustrated with that commute, fed up with not having freedom to set your own priorities, tired of living someone else's American dream. If you're like us, you've got a family, a mortgage, and people in your life counting on you. You can't just up and quit. You can't burn the boats, but you can bootstrap a business on the side with a little hard work and ingenuity right now, right where you are. This week, we're reviewing our progress, painting a target on the things holding us back, clarifying goals, and making sure we're still on track. So put on your earbuds, pour yourself a drink, roll up your sleeves, because, hey, we got work to do. So how you doing today, Craig?
Doing awesome, man. How you doing, Ken?
Not too bad. What are you drinking tonight?
Inspiring intro. I like it.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
Very good. I'm drinking boxed red wine tonight, actually.
I like boxed wine.
Black box Cabernet. It is. It's fantastic. Yep. How about yourself?
I've got some expensive rum here from the island of Puerto Rico. It's called Rondel Barrelito, the 3-star variety.
Very nice.
It's got some mahogany notes, some molasses. It's really nice.
You know, these the micro bourbon and rum distilleries are really making a comeback. I think we have one here in New Orleans, a rum distillery that's very popular. It's a cool thing to go to. You know, the brewery tours are, I don't know if they've had their day, but they're certainly established at the point. I think the micro or nano distilleries are the wave of the future.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So we're going to go through a little bit of updates on the show itself. So we are very pleased to let everyone know that the iTunes feed is now live. Today is February 17th that we're recording this, and Ken just got the approval from iTunes right before we started recording the show today. So we're super excited that the show is now live. Episode 0 and 1 are going to be live on iTunes here very soon. And I think from my experience with other podcasts, for about the first week, the show won't be searchable, but you'll be able to access it directly with a link, and we'll put a link on the website and some social media. But by the weekend, hopefully, you'll be able to search Nights and Weekends as the keyword search to find the podcast. So let us know how that's going. If you guys do find the show by search, let us know. That'd be awesome. Otherwise, we'll give you a link for that in the show notes and on the website. Speaking of the website is nightsandweekendspodcast.com, and each episode will be there listed. You can also sign up for the email list, which you would do if you're an extremely smart and motivated person to follow the path that Ken and I are choosing to lead here. So head on over to the website, sign up for the email list, and you'll get all sorts of goodies every week right before a new show comes out. So,
we've already got one subscriber on our email list. Well, actually, two if you count me, so let's not count me. So one subscriber, that's a real person. And one comment already on our episode 0 from Mr. Rich Buggy. I guess this is our first shout-out as well. Thanks a lot, Rich, for jumping on the grenade, listening first, being the first first commenter.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, Rich. So, just as far as the podcast, a couple other things are stylistically playing around with the intro. As you guys saw from today, Ken wrote up an awesome intro for the show today. We're just going to play around with that until we find one that really fits and fits the style and the theme and the feel of the show, I think. And we're going to do the same with music, too. So episode 0 was kind of rock. Episode 1 was blues. I don't know what today will be. It just depends what mood hits us when we're editing it. So just keep you guys on your toes a little bit there.
Great. Let us know what you think in the comments or send us an email. Drop us a tweet. And just let us know what you think. It's okay if you say, you know, hey, guys, that sucked. That actually sucked and made my commute horrible. Never do that again. I love that. I love that kind of comment.
And you know what? If that's your comment, you can turn it off. And I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't like negative comments on my podcast.
What? I like the negative comment. I like passion. So passion in either direction.
That's true. That's
enthusiasm true. Or candid criticism is fine with me. So send it to me. Don't send it to Craig because he'll probably find out where you live.
I might start crying.
Yeah. So, Craig, we were thinking last week that maybe we should do a live show. You know, since we're just starting out this podcast, I think the easiest thing to do would be to take on a huge technical challenge and put together a live kind of a town hall kind of show. What do you think?
What could possibly go wrong other than us wasting an hour of our time?
Not just our time. Everybody we invite.
Yep, yep. So, your point is a very good one, and we should probably do a bit of a dry run before that show actually happens live. And if you guys, again, we really would love your feedback. If you've done this sort of thing in the past and done it well or done it poorly and learned something, please let us know what kind of technology you used, how you recorded it, how you hosted it, what the group interaction was. All those things are important for us because we do want to do a live show. And Ken, I think we could easily do one once a month. I know some shows do them every week for a show. And I think maybe once a month is probably fine for us because we are going to mix in other types of shows aside from two knuckleheads like us just sitting here rambling for an hour.
Right. The two that I can think of, one of them actually, they stream it live from their servers while they're recording it. So you can actually eavesdrop in as they're recording their podcast live. There's a live feed of the actual recording before editing. The other one I can think of that quickly comes to mind is Mixergy's 1,000th episode that was live, had a lot of celebrities on, and there was a good deal of technology in there. But at the end of the day, I think they use Google Hangouts. I think if we do a dry run, maybe even if it's just you and me and our wives sitting in on the podcast, I think we can put something together, see how it works. If anybody has any experience with this, please let us know.
Yeah, so last thing regarding the show in general is if you guys have anybody that you would like us to try and bring on the show to interview, we'd love to hear that. You know, this show is primarily for us, but it is for you guys too. So, right, it's all a community endeavor. We're on the journey together. So if there's someone you want Ken and I to try and bring on and ask a bunch of questions and interview them and dig out how they've been successful, let us know. I don't know that we have anyone in mind right now, do we?
Actually, there are a few people I've got in mind that I would love to interrogate. Is that a good word? Probably not a great word, but
it probably wouldn't come on if that was the word you used.
Yeah, I don't want to tell them that advance.
I see.
You know, this will be like waterboarding, audio waterboarding. But I would like to interview a few people and really get into their heads about what they went through starting up. I think a lot of these interviews we see in the what's the catchword? Entreporn in that space. You see a lot of people regurgitating their press release and a lot of people talking about how they became successful in a very, as if a ghostwriter is working on the back cover of their autobiography. You know, it's glossed over. And some of the interviewers do dive in a little bit. But there are just some key questions that I would just like to have answered to know that, okay, Ken, it's okay if you feel these feelings too. A lot of people have these thoughts. Here's how you get through it.
I mean, I think to your point, the emotional part of this is a big one. It's a big one. It's why we're here in the first place, right? Is an emotional feeling of, God damn, I don't want to work for the man for the next 30 years. Yeah. But also when you get into it, you know, the conflict of, and this time – hey, how do I balance working from 8 to 5, spending 3 or 4 hours with the kids until they go to bed and my wife, and then spending 2 or 3 hours at night working on something else, and the pressure of those 3 plus things on your life are real.
Yeah, not only real, but they are almost the most tangible hurdle that I deal with. The emotions, the isolation, and then how that affects how you balance out your time. Those are really things that I deal with on a day in and day out basis. It's very tangible to me. So I'd like to hear, you know, this is not my therapy session, but I'd like to hear how other people get through it.
Well, shit, man, let's do it. Let's get someone on that is really kicking it in the ass and have them go through that emotional and psychological journey. Cause you know, the dip is real, right? The dip that Seth Godin talks about, how you overcome the dip, how you get to the dip. Cause that's a hard part too, right? How do you stick it out to validate your idea and emotionally kind of deal with the uncertainty and then get to the dip and overcome it to get on that hockey stick that we're all looking for. Okay. Sweet. Let's do it. Let's put our heads together and find that person and bring them on. That'd be good.
Okay, Craig. I think you're in the hot seat first with the updates this week.
Right on. Yeah. So I will do the uncertain news first. I don't think it's bad news, but I am I'm refining my approach and my focus quite a bit. So I'm doing early idea validation on what I think will be my core business. And I think that's the important thing to think about with this potential early pivot is I'm looking at a pivot away from finishing the book on buying and selling websites to focus primarily on a productized service business and getting that off the ground, getting early users in to beta test the service and maybe starting to make some money here soon. So right now I'm tabling probably the book for now. It's about 10,000 words maybe done, about a third of the way done. But I do a productized service business that is essentially ready to go. So I'll go ahead and get into what the service is now. So the service is a 100% done for you podcasting, editing, production, publishing, promotion service. So it's a service as a service. But it is productized, and it will do everything from the time you hit stop on the recorder in Skype to when the post goes live on your WordPress site and on your media host and social media and all that kind of stuff. Show notes, transcripts, cover art, everything included. Right now, I have a domain and a pretty simple website set up, and the domain is podmotor.com. I'm considering changing the name. I like it okay. Actually, kind of would like your feedback on domaining, I guess, in a little bit, because I do have a couple of other projects around podcasting, and podcasting is going to be the world I live in until it doesn't work, because I think it's a good place to be. It's a place I'm interested in. It's the type of people I like working with. And so I think all those things point in the right direction. I like the name okay. I have a couple of other things I want to do in the domain. That's a bad term. In that realm. And just not sure if that's the exact right place to put it or not. But so the service is going to be $495 a month. And it's a pretty steep price tag, I realize. But if you think about the work that goes into... for us of editing, producing, putting show notes together, doing a featured image for the blog, doing a transcript potentially, doing audio engineering on the podcast, it's several hours a week. And if you do an episode a week for a month, that's $100 a week, give or take. That's not crazy money if you are a small business owner or an entrepreneur with a real business and you're doing a podcast, $100 a week for a few hours of your time is very realistic. So I guess that's the big update. And I'll take a breath here and get your thoughts, Ken.
In my mind, as you were saying that podcasting is the area that you're interested in and that you're diving into and you're focused on right now, I'm drawing one circle of a Venn diagram, and I'm wondering where it intersects and how much of it intersects with, is there an audience that pays money for a portion of your interest area? Does that make sense? So here are the things I'm interested in. Here are the things the world is willing to pay for. Where does it cross? So the first question I have is, are podcasters willing to pay money for this service? So outlining what the service is, and I'll get back to that question, you're doing all of the editing. So they hit save on their sound file. They drop that. It's probably into Dropbox.
Yep.
That you have permission to go in and grab, and you do all of your whatever your process is from there. Does the podcaster have to set up their own WordPress site, or are you going to do that for them?
I will do that for them. It's a separate setup fee, but I would do that for them. And the plugins and the iTunes feed submission and all that linking and the Libsyn account and all that stuff, I would set up as a separate setup fee. And then have access to the WordPress and the media hosting site.
And then you're going to go back after you edit it down. You're going to do the show notes and all the research that goes with show notes as far as linking up URLs and citing sources for cover art. It's an interesting service. Would we have used a service like this, you and I?
So that's where I think so in my mind, and I'm being defensive, but I think this is true. In my mind, we are not the audience for this.
Okay.
Right? We are two dudes with more time than money, probably at this point right now, for a podcast, right? But the one I think about is the guys that do Bootstrap Web, right?
Uh-huh.
So they are both single founders of pretty large and successful software businesses. They do a podcast. They do it every week. And they realize they have a very keen sense of what their time is worth.
Mm-hmm.
And are used to and are okay with spending money to free up more of their time to work on their business in a smart way.
Right.
And that's and this is just talking out loud. I mean, this is why we're doing the podcast. You and I are doing this podcast together, is talking through some of these things. But I think that we niche ourselves too much into the startup podcast mindset, I do at least, to think that the only people that do podcasts are, you know, Rob Welling and Mike Tabor and you know, Brian Castle and all these guys that we listen to. But the fact is there's a fuck ton of people that do podcasts in every possible genre.
Yeah, no question. I agree with that. 100%.
And some of them are real business owners that use podcasts to promote their business.
I didn't want to imply that I didn't mean to imply that I felt that since we were not the audience, that this is not a good idea. I was just curious, you know that we wouldn't use a service like this. That's a valid point. You've got to be able to turn away a certain market segment. So the reason I asked that question is just so I knew that you had thought through who you're turning away.
Yeah.
$4.95 a month sounds, in my mind, that sounds like the entry level, and that there's probably a few tiers that are significantly more expensive than that per month.
So there is someone out there doing this right now, and they charge just under $700 a month.
Okay.
For essentially the same service. And I would have no problem upping the cost later once the concept is proven. But I will do, we'll use the drug analogy. I'll give them the crack for a week, right? I'll do the whole deal for a week for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully they realize the value of it. So they say, man, this is awesome. All I had to do was talk in the microphone for 30 minutes or an hour. And then the podcast was live. I got to do this all the time. $100, $125 a week is nothing to get me that time back. So that's kind of how I want to approach it. The marketing is very concise, right? The audience is all the people in iTunes podcasts. So that's nice. It's not all the attorneys in the United States or something like that with a typical SaaS or product as service offering. So in that sense, I think I can really do some good outbound marketing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've got your price anchor right there. You've got a guy that's already doing it for a certain price. So you can either assume that he's tested other pricing arrangements and that's what he arrived at because it works. Or maybe he's embarrassed to raise his price, so that's just where he started. Either way, you in your head, you started at $495. Means you've got room to go up, move up market. If it were me, I would price anchor at $799, put a big slash through that on the website. And for the first couple of people that agree to be the initial users of your service, they get a significant discount.
Very smart. Yeah, very smart. I will absolutely do that.
This is probably a fairly easy idea to test because podcasters seem to be on social media a lot. They seem to be accessible via electronic means, unlike, you know, a lot of attorneys and things like that. Podcasters seem to consume these services. The question I have was just exactly, you know, I'm unsure what percentage of these podcasters are open to this concept of completely hands off, just record the thing and let a complete stranger take it over.
Yeah, don't know. It's
a hard sell up front because you don't have a book of a work to show. Well, but that's not true either. You've got another podcast with several episodes.
Yeah.
You've got some work.
Yeah, I mean, I have some work. I have some work, and the nice thing is in easing into it a little,
right.
Doing the first one for free, no strings attached, no credit card, no nothing, just send me the audio file and I'll do it all.
Yeah.
Is zero risk almost on their part, other than the day it takes me to turn it around that they would otherwise be doing the work themselves. And I mean, thinking this through in my mind to completion, if I charge $500 and get 20 customers, then I'm there, right?
Right.
And 20 customers is kind of a lot and kind of not to think that I have a year to get 20 customers. So anyways, that's kind of where I am. And that's all these things and the potential of it is kind of why I look at the flip a book as something that may be more of a distraction towards my overall goal than a real useful spend of time for me.
I like this a lot because you could get one or two customers in the next couple of months and really, I mean, you'd be on your way. Because, you know, if you had three customers at, you know, this is a side project. If you had three customers next month, that'd be probably as much as you could handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, unless you immediately are coming up with a system that you could outsource, which I'm, you know, you can't do that right up front.
No.
Because you don't know what you don't know yet, you know. So, but, you know, this sounds like you could easily get to two or three customers fairly quickly. The last thing I'll say about this, because obviously this is an idea that's pretty easy to test, right? So I'm looking forward to seeing you test it. But I was listening to the Bootstrapped FM podcast the other day, a back episode, and Ian Landsman and Andre Butoff were doing a episode, their January episode, and they were talking about MicroConf, whether or not they're going to go to MicroConf. And Ian's on board, and he went last year. He's looking forward to it this year. They were talking about the costs associated. And both Ian and Andre, they run successful businesses. Andre makes mobile apps, has been self-employed for a number of years now. Spent a lot of time on this episode talking about how he's been looking for a gig, a side job, just so he can go work with a team. Not for the money, because it would always be a pay cut. Even if he took a CTO role at a startup, it'd be a pay cut because he's paying himself a good chunk of change.
Yep.
And Ian, you know, he has several employees. I can't remember the exact number, more than three. And two products, one a SaaS app, one a downloadable server install. And so both of these people are established business owners, much in the same vein as Bootstrap Web. And Andre's reaction to this, the price of MicroConf was a $799, I think it was, or something like that, or eight ninety. I can't remember what the pre-sale price was. It doesn't matter. He said, "Well, at $799, it was too expensive. Had it been $599, he would have bought the ticket." And I'm thinking to myself,
that's pretty ambiguous.
I'm thinking to myself, $200, really? You know, I've gone to the last two microcomps for the value I got out of it. $200, especially if I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
And I could sit in a one-hour seminar, go have lunch with another founder or knowledge leader in our space that could give me an idea that would help me 0.5 or 1x, you know, sales this month. That easily pays for that $200, you know, difference there. I don't understand why that would be the tipping point. So you do have a wide spectrum of business owners that are running podcasts. Some are cheap, I guess is what it comes down to.
Sure.
Some are willing to spend money to make money. Others just seem to be more frugal. I won't say cheap, but frugal.
Yep, that's very fair. And it's not for everyone. It's absolutely not going to be for everyone because some people, even to your point, some people outsource all of this to a VA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think a VA would do as good as someone who focuses on this stuff all the time, but they get it done for a basic podcast.
Yeah. And I've heard other podcasters mention just off the cuff that they spend $150, $200 just on all the work that goes in every month into their podcast, which raised two questions in my mind. One was, well, how are we doing it so cheaply? What are we doing wrong? And on two, you know, if they think that is a worthwhile spend of money, maybe your idea, you know, has legs. So I'm looking forward to seeing you test it.
Yep. Right on. Well, that's it for now, pretty much. I mean, I think that's a pretty big pivot. It's something I want to really focus on. We'll see.
So, okay, we'll get back to the challenge update then. I want you to think about how that affects our challenge for this month.
Sure. Yep.
Let's see. So that was the pivot. Do you have any other updates?
I think that does it for now. I do want to talk about building a personal brand and having a platform from which to speak, but I think that we'll talk about that later.
Okay. You had a point that you mentioned about the SMART goals system reference from Bootstrap with Kids.
Yeah. So, and this is to your point about our end of the month goals. They're very SMART. So SMART is specific, measurable, accountable, realistic, and time sensitive.
I think so.
Give or take. So, you know, the idea is don't just say, I want to replace my income. Say, by the end of February, I want to release a thing that makes me money on my own website. So right. Very, very specific in the a lot of those parameters that can be measured. So I want to make sure, like you said, make sure our goals are SMART and that we update them at least once a month.
Okay. I'm with you on that. I like to be very specific. I guess that's why I don't do very well at like networking events, because you get 30 seconds to chit chat with somebody and then they move around.
Right.
And I can't dive in. I don't have the ability to write a short email, and I usually do a deep dive. My update, I had planned to, you know, when pressed in our last call, you know, I said, fine, I will commit to having my HIPAA book finished and ready to release by the end of the month. I was working on that this week, fine tuning the table of contents, rearranging some chapters, and I was diving into one of the chapters that I've almost got finished. And I realized that I don't think I can get that done by the end of the month.
Okay.
So I am going to back off on having the whole thing finished. But I am committing to having a sample chapter on the landing page ready for someone to download to evaluate. I am committing to having an email sequence ready to go by the end of the month that has value for the target audience, and that has certain lead magnets in the emails. Basically, you know, electronic downloads they can get if they want to know more about that topic area.
Sure.
All of this is for anybody who's just joining us for HIPAA compliance, healthcare compliance for web developers and mobile app developers. So that's the big update. So I don't want to sound like I'm hedging on my my commitment, but as I actually look at the tasks in front of me and the time I have available to do them, I have to get really specific in what I can get done.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. I mean, we were very on the spot and the spontaneous with the goals for last week, last week's episode for the end of this month. So I think it's fair to learn a lesson from that probably and say, hey, we should probably off-air set goals for the entire next month. And this first month can be a bit of a learning experience for us both, I think. And we're, I mean, shit, the reality is, man, we're in the first inning of the game, right? So
yeah,
if we're just learning what's important to us and where we're focusing and how we're going to do it, that's fine. I mean, that's the whole point, I think. That's the whole point of the whole journey. So no worries, right?
Yeah. You know, I did beat myself up a bit about that. I'm like, oh, man, I'm already bailing on this challenge. But I'm not. I just have to be specific and realistic. And those are still steps in the right direction. Those are all things that they got to get done.
Yeah.
So it's fine for me to put those in my sights.
And it's not that, I think it's an important thing to reiterate for both of us, is we're not quitting, we're not pivoting for no reason. We are looking at the big picture of what's important and what is, what's important and what's possible for getting the kind of product out there that we want to get out, right?
Right.
So it's not that you either can't do it or you don't want to. It's that it doesn't make sense or you can't get the thing out there that you're going to be proud of and that's going to move your overall business forward,
right,
in the way you want. So absolutely fair.
I sat down and I did a roadmap for the HIPAA work. In my brain, a lot of times when I'm thinking of this, all the writing I need to do to get this book out, it's just this task of make a book. But I had to remind myself there's a bigger roadmap here, and all this stuff fits into a bigger program that I'm working on. The book is a very big piece of it. All of this email marketing and content marketing that I need to do as well, that's part of it. all of this leads to two things that I forgot to talk about last week. I got off on a tangent. But one is a training course for developers who are interested in HIPAA compliance. That is a huge product in and of itself. A lot of people are offering training programs out there now. We've kind of got to a point where we've seen the kinds of things that work and the kinds of things that don't work, the kinds of pricing models that work, and some that don't work so well. And then all of those things wrap into a larger core offering that is, in essence, a SaaS app that is, you know, kind of hiding in the middle of all of this. So if you take the training course, you get a year of access to this SaaS app that will take you, your consulting business, or your, you know, whatever, wherever space you're in, if it's consulting or if you're a small business or if you're an independent developer. I have a roadmap for an app that will help you schedule your HIPAA risk analysis paperwork that needs to be done, and also to make a checklist of remediation steps you need to do to get your existing app in compliance, or to manage your checklist of to-dos that need to happen for you to get the new app that you're planning into compliance. And then you can also invite other users in to collaborate with you on this effort. So nice. That is the core underlying, I guess it's kind of like a cross between a task management and a project management app with a compliance bent to it that realizes that a lot of these to-do items and tasks are recurring and repeating. Some of them need to have responsibilities that are assigned and progress that's tracked to know if the steps are completed in the event of an audit or a risk analysis by an outside party. So I think that's a huge offering that I could offer all by itself, but it's an easier sell if it's being offered to the people that have already trusted me because I've given them value from the email course. They've learned a bunch from me from my my online e-learning course on the best practices for doing this.
Yep.
They're going to trust using that application. And they may not use it forever, but it will definitely be valuable for the first 2 or 3 years that they're in business.
So how does that fit in with the, you know, along the spectrum? So the book is the first piece to that, and then these other pieces build on top of that potentially?
So I think the steps I'm going to take are I'm going to work on the marketing funnel top down. So to get people in my funnel, I need them to start trusting me through my content marketing efforts. Am I going to sit around and write 10 blog posts a day? No. But what I am going to do is get some landing pages together that target specific needs in the niche and then offer like a 3 or 5 email mini course that addresses that need.
Mm-hmm.
In that mini course, I'm going to target a downloadable offering free of charge that gives them either the complete course as a checklist, you know, that they can just print out and just boom, 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 knock it out.
Yep.
Or some of them might be put for sale for a small fee, a very small fee near the end of the course. So up front, you might get a download of each day in the course. And then maybe you'll get a summary wrap up with a checklist of all the things you have to do. And then maybe there's one additional thing that, hey, you can do all this yourself and use the checklist, or you can use this additional item to shortcut a little bit of this for you.
Got it.
I haven't quite made that concrete yet. My inspiration for that is kind of the way LeadPages does their webinars, where they show you a new bent on a landing page and a new way to market their offering. And then they give it to you for free in a zip file. And they tell you, hey, you can hire a developer, and he can unzip this file and put it on your WordPress site. It'll take about 2 or 3 hours. And it's real easy, and you can do that. But if you don't have the time or you don't have a developer, you can just sign up over here, and for a small fee, we'll do it for you.
Yeah, and they kill it, I'm sure.
Right. And so enough of those things. And again, it's not going to be huge chunks of money, but just to prove that, okay, a person who is curious about getting into this space of development, they went through the funnel, they went through the course. I can measure engagement by seeing who actually clicked and downloaded the lead magnet per email in the course.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see, okay, further separating, who is actually paying a small chunk of change for the next level up in convenience. And those are the people that I'm really going to market to the e-learning course. Not to say I won't market to the others, but you understand what I'm getting
at. I do.
So
yep.
That flows through the funnel where in the end of the thing, they'll be primed to really be receptive to hearing about an app that helps them manage this whole complex process.
Yep.
It's not a terribly complex app. I'm actually researching, Breck Palumbo cobbled together his Distress Pro app from WordPress plugins. And that was a lot of years ago when they weren't as cool. So I'm looking at that. I'm also looking to see if maybe instead of that, I can sketch out the 10 or 12 screens that in my head I think it is and just put out on Odesk or Elance and see if I can get a Rails guy to do it for me. I am a member of Brian Harris's Video Fruit Vault, so maybe I can find a developer in his Rolodex of developers that he trusts.
Okay.
That could do just a quick project management app like this for me in Rails or PHP. Because for me, I actually, you know, it's close, but I do have more money than time at this point in my life. So,
yep.
I got one person on my board of directors and I have to convince her that, it's worth it. So that's what I'm weighing as far as how that gets implemented. But I got some time to think about that. I think that's a few months down the line.
Yep.
So anyway, my first step this month to go full circle to answer your question is the first part of the funnel. I got to get the lead magnets together in the email courses. I use Drip for my email courses and for content delivery. I will probably use Gumroad to do any kind of paid content delivery. And that'll get me started.
That's solid. So that brings to it's a good segue, I think, into building your own brand and the importance of that and what you think, where that fits in the set of priorities, right? Because I think, you know, we talk about the stress of all these conflicting priorities on us as kind of the people who are bringing it home for the family. You know, how important is it to blog, if you will, or build your own personal brand? What are your thoughts on it? I mean, it sounds like everything's going to run off your website, so you do have to have an audience and traffic and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on it? What's your approach? All that good stuff.
I do need to build some credibility in this space. I am, you know, I'm not a celebrity in the HIPAA app development space. I don't know that there is one. I need to sort through that. I have struggled mightily trying to get my personal blog up. I used to keep a blog for many years at kenwallacedesign.com, starting back from when I was in college until I stopped freelancing. Then I transitioned to, when I got into sailing a lot, I started a sailing blog, and that's where my Twitter handle comes from, Boticus.
Uh-huh.
I let my girlfriend at the time name the boat, and she named it Boticus, and it was so weird. I was like, you know, I need a Twitter handle, and this works. So I had Boticus.com for a long time, where I was really attempting, and I would participate in a lot of sailing forums and different groups and clubs and things on that niche. And I was trying to find a way that I could market, you know, my technology skills toward sailors, because they spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what I find is they don't really spend a lot of money on web-based stuff. They're a frugal bunch in a lot of respects, because they are wary of price gouging. It's almost like the wedding industry. If anybody has a product and they put marine grade on it, it becomes twice the price.
right.
So you can take a bolt that's stainless steel. You can get it at Menards for $1. And if you get it at West Marine, a marine store, it's like $9.99.
Right.
And that's not even a joke. It's crazy. So I worked for a long time trying to find a way to make money at something I love to do. If there's any place I would rather be in the world than I am at right now, it'd be on a sailboat somewhere, anywhere in the world. I would be happy on a sailboat.
And I think that's the thing we talked about before, where it's the confluence of things you like and you're interested in and things that make money.
Right.
Unfortunately, exactly. I like drinking beer, but no one's paying me to drink beer, right?
No one's paying me to review this rum that I'm drinking right now.
It's right. Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think I'll give my two cents on the conflict that you're having, because I have the same one. And I think that the easy way to sidestep it is to not build a personal brand based on making money online and entrepreneurship, because there's 8 million people doing that, but to build a brand around what you ultimately think your business is going to be. And if you spend 6 months blogging about HIPAA and the things tangentially related to that, you're going to have something for that, right? That's going to be worth something. You can sell it later if you want, or you can continue to leverage that in the future.
Yeah.
And I definitely have been guilty of trying to be the next Pat Flynn, right? No one's going to be the next Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn has 5 years and the early years of all this stuff on all of us, and none of us should try to do that. I think we should find our own place and build something that people want, and do content marketing that people want around and supporting the projects that we're going to have. Otherwise the audience you have is not a good audience for the things you're building.
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, you know, if you have a dozen people on your email list and they all love everything you write, then the software product or the course or the whatever that you release is going to be successful, as opposed to you have 100 people on something totally unrelated to what you end up releasing your product around, that they don't really matter.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, There's a lot of introspection on my part the last few days around that. I didn't just come up with it on the fly.
Yeah, I've been ever since I canceled my sailing blog, and I took down, you know, guess what? People don't care to go on my blog and read my latest sailing trip report. I used to put a map on where I sailed and, you know, how far we went and who was the crew. Nobody cares. You know, it's kind of personal. And yeah, it's kind of like a personal journal. I was just up online, but nobody cares. So, you know, I've been wrestling with putting up another blog where I can just blog about tech and startup topics. And again, I thought about doing something to follow the trail of a Pat Flynn and minus the revenue number up in the right hand corner. And
that's a killer, isn't it?
Oh, it slays me. Don't get me started.
Yeah, no, I won't.
You know, we've talked briefly about this. Pat, some others, they like to do the transparency in numbers. I applaud that. I love that a lot. What kills me is I'm really struggling to find my way. And I'll follow a link to an inspirational article on smartpassiveincome.com. And my eye stops in the top 100 pixels of the page on that revenue number from last month. It absolutely kills me. And I don't know what it is because, well, that's a whole nother show. I just don't know what it is that bothers me about it. Because by all accounts and from what I've seen, Pat is the nicest guy on the planet. And I wish him all the best and congratulations on his success. But something bothers me about that number.
Yep.
Back to our topic. Yeah. You know, the personal brand doesn't matter. You know, I respect a lot Ruben Gomez over at BitSketch.
Yeah.
It's rare that you find his name plastered on something. It's usually reluctantly that he agrees to let his name be put on something. If it is, if you see his name on a testimonial on a site or if he's speaking somewhere, you know, open your ears and listen because he's got something important to say because he rarely does that.
Mm-hmm. And he's just talking about his thing too, right? He's
right.
Not talking about just entrepreneurship in general. I think
it's not entrepreneurship. It's actually a single topic that he's, you know, passionate about that can help somebody.
And is a domain authority on, right?
I mean,
Seth Godins can write about whatever the fuck they want to write about because they earned it somewhere else.
Yes.
And no offense, but we haven't.
Yeah, exactly.
We can write about whatever the fuck we want to talk about, but no one's going to care.
Somebody cuts me off in traffic today. Nobody cares to read about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's on a beautiful blog, if it's on Medium. It doesn't matter if it's on your personal blog. Nobody cares.
No.
So thank you to the two people that are listening to this episode right now.
That's right.
For caring enough to make it this way.
I think that's so to a lot of people that may be kind of just finding their focus, that's super important, right? So don't try to be someone else. Find the thing that you like doing that can make you money and just go all in. Go all in every respect and build an audience around it and build products around it and keep doing that over and over and over and you'll be successful, I think. And if you start floundering, it's because you've lost focus probably.
Yeah. And don't get depressed by that. You know, I just said that nobody cares, you know, it doesn't matter. But there's some power in that. And you can actually take some solace in the fact that you can struggle. As you're starting out, you can pick your path, find your way. You go 50 feet down one fork in the road. It didn't work out, so you backtrack, get back to the V in the road, and go the other way. It's okay. You know why? Because nobody cares yet. And you've got the freedom to be anonymous. You're just a face in the crowd. You haven't stood on your soapbox yet to make yourself known. That's what you're working out, and take your time to do that.
Yep, absolutely. That is a good thing about just starting out, no doubt.
Okay, so that's, I don't know if we've come to anything about the blogging and the personal name. I agree. As long as we are blogging in the context of the businesses that we're really working hard on in this challenge and you know, this year of just heads down focus that we're trying to commit ourselves to here. I think the rest will take care of itself.
Yep. Absolutely agree. And so we'll say that those are allowed, right? Blogging about our niche is allowed. Blogging about entrepreneurship is and startups is not allowed.
Okay. Deal. I agree.
So
wrap the gavel.
You know, I think, all right, so I don't know that we need to get into the details of the hurdles that we've been over and through and around in the last, year, for both of us, but suffice it to say that it's related to what we were just talking about, and that we both have probably suffered from shiny object syndrome in the past, and as best you can avoid it and do things to kick those nasty thoughts to the curb, the better off you'll be in your clarity of focus and your mental stress, but also your success as a business person, an entrepreneur, and spouse, and parent, and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what more I can add to that. I have I picked up something from the Fizzle courses, and that's the avoid at all costs list, the AAAC list.
I was wondering what AAAC is.
Yeah, avoid at all costs. And Chase Reeves teaches a course on this in the Fizzle program. I can link that up in the show notes. The gist of it is this. You sit down with a piece of paper, and you number it top to bottom, 1 through 25. Fill it up. Everything that's on your mind. Everything, every little to-do that's just nagging at you. If I had time, I would do these things. And you'll struggle to get down to 20, 21, 22 through 25. Put it all down there. And then look at the first through five things on the list. Take those five things, put it on a different list. Everything else on that original 25 list, you put the three A's and a C next to it. And you avoid those things at all costs.
No, you know, I like that.
Unless it has something to do with the, you know, the life or health or safety of your children or the well-being of your family, avoid it at all costs until you've made progress on the other things. And then as you do, check them off, move down the list. One more item gets promoted if you've got time. Usually what will happen is you'll get so deep into the top five that those top five get expanded into a list of their own. And you can even whittle it down further, maybe the top three, or just the first thing on the list, focus on that thing. But everything else, you've got to avoid at all costs. It comes from an old Jack Welch philosophy. No. So it has completely helped me transform, because I always felt a actual tangible weight on my shoulders. I work at home. And so as I'm sitting here working, trying to be creative, I look around and I see a basement that needs to get cleaned. The gutters need to be cleaned. You know, the lawn needs to be mowed. I've got four websites that I love to launch this year. All these things weigh on me. And they take life. They steal life from the creativity that I'm trying to put out. So if I write them down, that's a step in the direction of almost relieving some of the pain. It take some pressure off the dam. The act of writing them down has a certain amount of relief to it. And then crossing them off and setting them aside and knowing you are not allowed to look at them, it almost frees you up, frees you from the guilt of, you know, not looking at the dirty basement for a while. Yep. And so that's what I would throw out there.
Solid. I like it. I think that's the mindset stuff that's really important. That's super important. So what else, man? So you want to talk about other people's podcasts?
Yeah, OPP. Are you down with OPP?
I'm down with OPP. You know me.
Just splicing that music right there. Yeah. So this week on the way back from a trip that my wife and I took, I was listening to Rob Walling and his wife. They have a new podcast. Sherry Walling, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shortchange her like that. Sherry Walling and her husband, Rob, have a new podcast called Zen Founder, Startups, Family, and Life. Excellent. They're getting off to a fast start. I think they launched their podcast to three episodes, and they just rapidly came out with a fourth. The first two were kind of finding their way. It felt a lot like Startups for the Rest of Us. But I do want to talk about the fourth episode. And that was an interview with Greg, I'm going to ruin his last name, Bogues, I want to say. He gave a software talk at Business of Software Conference, and it led to a standing ovation. And at the time, it was the first standing ovation that any speaker had gotten at the Business of Software Conference. And he works at Twilio now, but he has gone through a ton in his life to overcome ADD and depression. And so if you or anybody you know out there, and the stats say that you know somebody out there dealing with this, one in three Americans are struggling with depression right now, and some degree of the spectrum of ADD. And if you have those things combined, it's a pretty potent 1-2 punch in your stomach. So it was a really great interview, and I don't want to shortchange it by paraphrasing it too much, but really deep dive into a way a good chunk of society's minds work and what you got to do to work around it, even down to talking about some medicines and therapies that have helped. So great podcast. Check it out if you haven't heard of it.
Is single barrel rum one of the medicines or?
That was my home remedy.
Self-medicating, I see.
Yeah, call that a homeopathic remedy that's not regulated by the government.
Highly endorsed. I like it.
Let's see. I have always struggled with ADD, and I have gone through really, really deep depressive episodes in my life. It did hit home with me. I found ways to combat both, and every day is kind of a struggle for the ADD front, especially. ADHD is what a lot of people are diagnosed with, but there are actually three sides to it. It's like a triangle, and not everybody is right at the ADHD attention deficit hyperactivity disorder peak. There is just attention deficit. You can be ADD. Some people just have hyperactivity disorder. Others have some combination of both. Mm-hmm. So I've been on the ADD side of it for some time. And some things help, some things don't help. And I've never sought medicine for it. I've been able to manage it somewhat on my own. I've always wondered. And actually, one point in the drive, my wife turned to me and said, "So, that medicine seemed to help him a lot. When are you going to go see a doctor about that?" I'm like, gee, thanks, honey.
Thanks.
Here I thought I was doing so good. But again, I'll say it again. I value candid feedback, and I don't let it hurt my feelings. I like the outside perspective. And so anyway, it was a fantastic podcast episode. And if Sherry Walling is out there, thank you so much for publishing that.
That's awesome.
Another one I listened to recently, and I don't mean to monopolize our show here, so jump in. It's kind of a dad cast, and there's, you know, you've heard of mommy blogs, but there's this new kind of genre of dad podcasts that come out that really help in a lot of ways. And so I found a podcast called Turning This Car Around, and it's Lex Fridman, John Maltz, and John Armstrong. And their description is America's favorite podcast about fatherhood. It's fantastic. Episode 48 I listened to recently. The title was Anal Vacuuming Techniques.
Oh.
But don't let that distract you.
If you're driving right now, both hands on the wheel.
Pull over. Right. Download that podcast. It actually is not... let me just say that by the title, you have no idea what's going to go on in that show. It really is three guys that have fantastic rapport. I know Craig and I, before we started this podcast, were talking about what the dynamic is like with a third wheel on a podcast, a third voice. And there are some where the third guy doesn't really get a word in. On that podcast, it really is a triumvirate. These guys are three heads, and it's a good time. And they bring up some issues with their families, with their kids that, you know, it's great to hear other people that go through these things.
Legit problems. Yeah.
So I think I've, okay. And then the other one I was looking at was the Minimum Viable Podcast, another great, startup focused podcast. You've heard of the Minimum Viable Product, MVP acronym. This is another group of entrepreneurs on the episodes I've listened to. It's just two. But their description is an unscripted podcast with entrepreneurs sharing real answers about building businesses and apps. So it's exactly what we're doing here. They're building businesses just like we are. Another great podcast.
That's cool. I'll definitely check the last two, Randy. I also listened to Zen Founder, the first episode, and just going to – I'll get into the next couple probably tomorrow. So I'll check those other two podcasts out. That's cool.
So what are your OPP, other people's podcasts?
Yeah, so my OPP, one is a selfish plug for Matt Kramer. I had Matt Kramer on my other podcast, the Rogue Startups podcast, yesterday, interviewed him, and Matt is a great dude. He is kind of getting into this Justin Jackson type micro launch, micro products, and is building a really cool following around that. And so a lot of my thoughts around audience building and the importance of it and the specificity of what your audience needs to be relative to the products that you are and will be developing came from our talk. So it was cool. I like interviewing people for my podcast because I get to ask them the questions that I want to ask people, kind of like what you were talking about with bringing someone on this show.
Right.
So that was cool. It would, and we talked about everything from, you know, should you go to college and what is the point of formal education and all these sort of things. So it was a cool talk, but he has his own podcast and Matt has on guests that are doing a lot of the same kind of things that we are. So it's a cool podcast to check out. He's, not had an episode in a couple of weeks, so you can go back and check out things from around the end of the year or the beginning of the year. The other is the $100 MBA. These are 10-minute episodes on business and entrepreneurship, and they're all just kind of how-to podcast episodes just with one guy talking. Sometimes he has a guest or a guest speaker or a short interview. But we'll link up the details of that. But those are really useful, and they're every day. So that's cool. So 10 minutes every day, kind of a nice little shot of education on the way to work or whatever. And the last one is The Gently Mad, Adam Clark. This one's, I think, probably still in the new and noteworthy section of iTunes.
Yes.
And, I mean, I signed up for Adam's Irresistible Podcasting course, which should be launching here soon. But he is just killing it. I mean, he's 6 weeks into it, and from everything he says, and I absolutely believe it based on how popular the show is, he could make this a full-time job. And as someone who's going to be focusing solely on podcasting as a business for myself, I really value that he's doing the same thing, and that's probably part of where I get this attitude from of focusing just on podcasting.
Right.
Is he doesn't blog, he doesn't have comments for his shows, he has sponsors, and that's it, and is making a killing. So, but the show itself is 100% honest, true, transparent, and also maybe a little selfish. So he has on business owners and has a lot of these real honest discussions with them about things that he's feeling. It's a lot of mindset stuff. It's not any real tactics. It's just, you know, how do you overcome the fear? How do you overcome the dip? How do you, you know, how do you set yourself up for success? It's awesome. Everyone should listen to at least an episode just to get a feel for it, because it's unlike anything else out there. So that's probably one of my favorites these days.
Yeah, I've heard a few episodes of that. It is one of my favorites.
Yeah, yep. So I think the last thing that we need to really do is formalize some goals for our early March live show. So that's when we're going to have the rubber meet the road and have some real goals around that. Are you ready to lay down some goals, or do you want to do it next week?
I would like to do it next week.
That's fair. I think I would rather next week. We'll still have 2 weeks until then. So I think that's fair. And we will have some very concrete goals next week for you guys to hold us accountable in our live show, which will be the first part of March. So that's very fair.
Our biggest goal for next week is to have goals.
There, yeah, that's baby steps, man.
Sorry, guys. Actually, one of my concrete goals for next week is to, I've got two landing pages that I desperately need to get out there. And that is for the HIPAA guide and for Budget Path. So I will get that done, I promise you. And then, so after that, depending on, you know, the baseball analogy, you got to run through first base. Depending on how far down the base paths I get, I will, I'll see for next week what else I need to get done. So there's that.
Cool. Right on. So, guys, there you have it. Another show in the can, another week in the rearview mirror. We hope you got what you need to make real steps forward in your business this week. If there's anything we can do to help, drop us a line on Twitter at Weekends Podcasts. You can also email either Ken or myself, Ken at nightsandweekendspodcast.com or Craig at nightsandweekendspodcast.com, or stop by the website and leave a comment in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a 5-star review in iTunes. Doesn't cost much, but it would mean the world to us. And lastly, we'd like to leave you with this thought. Perfect is the enemy of good, and comparison is the thief of joy. Launch early without fear. Launch early even before you think your product is ready. Get it out there in the hands of people you're trying to help. Do that enough times, and good things will happen.